You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Good day and welcome to From the Black Hole, episode 33. Well, the Canadian men had a big 3-1 win over Jamaica tonight, so we couldn't help but get together and discuss that. But along the way, we also have to discuss the mess that has been and continues to be TFC. Well, I don't even know how to start this because I'm in dreamland right now. Jeff, you must be in dreamland too.
Yo, I'm actually...
I'm actually pissed
that I wasn't able to be at the game in person.
Oh, well, I echo that.
So
it was a little bit hard. It was hard listening to the chanting in the south end and just being stuck in the middle of nowhere, but in the black hole.
Yeah. Yes.
So what are you going to do? Anyway, yes. if you haven't figured this out, and Lars might not be on cloud nine as much because he's waiting to watch the PVR version of the game, but we've tried to update him as best as possible. And the game I'm talking about, if you haven't figured this all out, was tonight's game, as we're recording this, Canadian men's national team versus Jamaica. Our first win in forever. And a fairly emphatic win, although there were some rough patches along the way. But that's what we're going to talk about. We got to talk about this. We have to talk about it. We won. It's like craziness. And one thing for anybody listening to this, and I'm sure I'll put this in the notes. I'm in a seedy hotel, and the Wi-Fi isn't the greatest. And our Skype might break up from time to time, so please be tolerant of our sound quality. It might not be the best. Jeff, I got to go to you first because, you were, sitting in Saskatoon, I'm assuming, watching the game, tweeting out the odd blurb. You must be just jacked.
Yeah. Well, just to correct you, I was actually standing, but yes, in Saskatoon.
Maybe jumping up and down from time to time?
From time to time. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Thoughts on the game?
I'll put it this way. What started off as us having all the possession in the world and no attacking movement turned into Jamaica completely losing all of their defensive assignments and letting us completely dictate the game. I don't think I've seen us dictate the play of a match now like that since probably when we played Cuba at home in the last home World Cup qualifier. And there's a definite difference between quality when you compare Jamaica to Cuba. Mind you, one thing I think people need to take into account for this is the fact that that's not Jamaica's starting 11. They were, I mean,
however, they had a lot of MLS regulars and some guys that play in England and whatnot. So it's not like it was a super, super weak squad either.
No, that's true. It's just, I mean, you know, Dicchio and who the heck was doing color with Dicchio?
I know him to see him. I forget his name.
Yeah, whoever the heck it was.
He's not a typical soccer guy, though.
No. They even remarked at the beginning of the match, and they were looking at Jamaica's starting 11, that there were a number of players that they were missing. And I mean, we didn't necessarily have 100% of our starting 11 either, but close. I mean, it was a close starting 11. And yeah, it just really came down to Jamaica really becoming sickly disorganized in the second half. I mean, we played well. We pressed. We were definitely winning 50-50s more than, and not the ones in the crowd, but the ones on the pitch.
we were winning 50-50s more than normal. I think Julian, I think JDG probably had, I don't know, five or six successful tackles at midfield where he just simply stripped a player of the ball and was able to move forward with it. Hutch, I think, has gotten better. That's another little thingy that I wanted to bring into this. Is I honestly think Hutchinson has gotten even better than he has been in the past. He had some touches on the ball where, you know, it's a bit of a bouncing ball, and he totally faked the guy out, went the other way, put himself into space, created an opportunity. I mean, Hutch is already good. He's already the best player on the pitch for us, but today he looked completely, utterly untouchable in midfield. I don't think the Jamaicans caused him to turn the ball over by putting any pressure on him. He was just 100%.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. What did you think about our attacking prowess? This is always on the minds of Canadian supporters. It's on my mind all the time. I think I said to you just before we started talking about this that usually when I'm sitting down watching a game, I'm baffled at where the goals might come from. Now, I could see a goal coming occasionally. We had some decent build-up play. We had some decent opportunities, lots of half chances, and some really good chances. What did you see about our attacking that maybe you haven't seen before in previous games?
I thought our attacking prowess was much like my sexual prowess. It was impressive and really started nice and organized and built its way into a roar of condensed and controlled sexual rage, I think is a way of putting it. So it was quite good.
Okay, you know what's happened now. Lars has just left and he's gone for tea.
I feel as if Jeff should be reported to some authority. Not to but I just feel like they've been a victim of some kind of dastardly assault.
This is an assault on the ears and on the mind. Oh. You know what, Jeff? I'm too tired for this.
Good, I know. That's
I've been up. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say now. I've been up for like 20 hours, and I think I told you before we got on here that I expended so much energy watching that game, jumping up and down, that I'm just like whipped right now. Okay, no, seriously, give a serious analysis of the Canadian men's national team attack tonight. No metaphors, please.
Early on, that was more of a simile, I believe. Early on, we really weren't moving enough.
Now everything goes back to that same comment. We really weren't moving enough. That's what she said. Okay, I believe
it's he said in this case.
Yeah, that's what he said. Okay, sorry. I'll stop now. I'll stop now and try and let you get serious.
Yeah. No, our attacking players. So really, really looking heavily at Edwini Bonsu and Ricketts, who are playing more like an outside attacking. Like outside forwards than anything, and then even Nakajima Farron, who actually was probably the best attacking player for the first 30 minutes of the game between either team, and then he really faded off. I can't remember when he got subbed out of the game, but he must have burned his engine out, because for about the first 30 to 40 minutes of the match, Nakajima Farron was all over the place, creating plays, moving into space, receiving passes, but we just weren't able to convert any of our chances yet. Then Jamaica takes advantage of our one sloppy set of passing in the back and score that free kick goal. Outside of that, Jamaica played 100% counterattack. They did not try and press the play whatsoever in that match. They played 100% counterattack. They waited for us to try and bear down on them, and then whatever they could do to win the ball back deep in their end, or even when we were passing around the back. I think we have and probably shouldn't say think, but I believe that other nations see us as being very, very, very weak and disorganized at the back, and plan on trying to exploit it, because that's exactly what Jamaica looked like they were doing the entire night. They looked like all they were doing was just sitting in front of our back line on top of our midfield and waiting for our back line to make a bad pass to a midfielder or a bad pass out wide, lose the ball, and then they were just trying to counterattack on us like crazy. And for the rest of the match, it really opened up. Jamaica's midfield became incredibly disorganized. I mean, there were times in the match where there were two or three of our midfielders, so either Hutch and De Guzman or Hutch and De Jong.
Becker was in there too.
Becker. De Jong was pushing up a lot from the back. It's kind of interesting. Henry started pushing up a lot from the back early on and then kind of stopped. And De Jong took over on the other side. It's kind of like we tried feeling them out on Henry's side, on the right side. And when he wasn't able to really get good possession up there, he kind of faded back and De Jong took over and really managed to exploit the left side of the pitch. That was great to watch. I think De Jong is one of my candidates for man of the match.
Although he did have a couple of bizarre rash dives at players, which then led to Jamaican breakaways, which I thought was
kind
of shocking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was playing a little looser than he should at times. But overall, I thought he had a fantastic match.
Sorry, Lars, you were trying to get in there.
I was just saying it's probably why he had that bizarre rash. He was playing a little loose.
Jeez.
I don't know.
That was so unexpected. Now that was almost that was almost as unexpected as a 3-1 win. Sorry, go ahead, Lars. I keep cutting you off.
I was just going to say it was slow developing. You guys just played right into it.
Yeah, it was slow. Yeah. The rash was slow developing.
Yes.
Perhaps as well. Okay, anyway, one last little thing, and then I want to go over to Lars because I think he's going to talk a little bit more about just the program in general and where things might be going and how this might play into it. What did you think about Henry at right back? That was a bit of a shock move. Did he really?
Yeah, hated it.
Why is that?
Because he's not a defensive back, or he's not a fullback. Yeah, he's not a fullback. God, I've watched too much football these last couple of days. A defensive back. He's not a fullback. He's a center defender. He's a central defender. That's where he is best utilized, I believe. And he caused a couple of the breakaways because of not following up with the line, because he's probably so used to being one of the two center backs that would determine where the line is, that it just doesn't come first. Like it's not second nature to him to have to follow another center back pairing in where the defensive line needs to be held. So a couple of their breakaways was because he was allowing players to remain onside.
Yes, I did see that, but I've got other thoughts on it. But continue.
He's not fast enough to be a fullback either. He didn't have the speed to be able to beat the opposing fullbacks when, like, Bernier tried to play him through. Nakajima Farron tried to play him through, and he wasn't able to win the balls either time.
You see, I actually think he's got some speed, and he showed it a couple times. I didn't mind him out there. He's got more of an ability. I guess the knock against Henry, I think it's still, people debate this all the time, I guess. His stats in MLS are so much better, but the one stat that's worse is he concedes bad free kicks or makes rash challenges in dangerous situations, and they lead to goals. And if you do that, if you have more clearances, more interceptions, more headers won, and all of those things, and you have all those great stats, and you give up three or four, if you give up a penalty every three games and two or three free kicks because you've taken a guy out every game, then a lot of those good stats are undone by your weaknesses. He can get into more rash challenges out there on the wing. So it mitigates his weaknesses, and it might play to his strengths. I wonder if we don't see him out there sometime in the future more regularly.
With TFC?
With TFC or with the Nats.
Oh, fair enough.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I thought, geez, that's a weird position. But then I thought he did okay in a position where, you know, maybe people are talking about putting Hutch out there. I don't want Hutch out there. Sure, I'm sure he'll lock it down, but he's going to be one of our most influential players. I want him in the middle of the pitch.
That's right. He would influence the matches he sees fit.
Yeah, see, I thought this was all set up for you saying the players expressed themselves so well, we got three goals. I was just waiting for this, and you haven't even gotten into it yet.
Well, and I think one thing we're really missing here is we never heard any ideas yet.
No, yeah. It's true. We're missing ideas.
So, I kind of say,
always contributes lots of ideas.
Ideas. I thought I set you up for the ideas comment, Jeff, because going forward, we definitely had more ideas.
We did. There were ideas.
So can we add going forward to the list of Rob's, you know, cliches?
Yeah,
oh, jeez. This is Lars. This is why you texted me and said we got a podcast about this. Because you just wanted your opportunity to hack me about my cliches. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, since we're talking to you, Lars, let's talk about the trajectory of the men's national team and what you take from this. I mean, we're undefeated in 2014. I guess that's a nice way to put it. I'm not sure if that's. It sounds better than maybe it is, but we've had some solid performances. What do you take away from this, and where do you think we're going?
I think, you obviously take away the awesome FIFA points that add to your ranking, but seriously.
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it actually is when we come up to the draws.
Totally.
I think the most important thing right now is the team is, it looks like they're starting to gel. And now they haven't been the most inspired over the past 2 years. Actually, I think since that last Cuba match they played in the World Cup qualifiers, they haven't been inspired at all. We do know that Floro's been bringing in all these different guys, and he's been changing up the formula and trying to find out his starting 11. I believe this was supposed to be the first team to end all first teams for Canada, if I recall correctly.
Based on the players that got called in, do you think that is actually the case?
I think for the most part it is. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to pull together the squad and he's getting the best. He's getting the players that he can get for these matches. Obviously, you know, there's problems with getting players released from certain teams. Typically, I'm thinking of, you know, Major League Soccer and sort of the back and forth that goes on with the CSA and MLS. But for the most part, I think he's bringing in who he can bring in, and he's going forward with the objective of putting together the team that he's going to use in the Gold Cup and in the World Cup. World Cup qualifiers, let's be realistic here.
Yes, World Cup qualifiers.
I don't know. It's been a lot better. We haven't lost to arguably one of the poorest countries in the world. I believe they're one of those countries. Was it Mauritania that we lost to? It's hard to remember now.
Yes, Mauritania, yes.
Yes, the slave nation.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if it was Western Sahara or Mauritania that we lost to.
This is what happens when we block out these horrible things.
But, you know, I think going forward, we need to get more of these kinds of results. Obviously, you know, it's pretty obvious. Going forward, we need to win more games. But I think we need to start seeing more of these dominant-style performances. As the listener is probably aware, I haven't had a chance to see the match. I have to obtain that from a different source than the TV because I think I only get 10 channels here. And Poverty Vision, I believe, is what it's called. But hearing that Donnell Henry was playing right back, I am a little disappointed to hear that. He isn't really a right back. We've seen him do that with Toronto FC with predictable results. Let's just put it that way. So I don't know how much I can comment about the game, but the trajectory is Canada needs to improve, and they need to do it pretty damn quickly. Going forward, one match isn't enough. It needs to be more. And there needs to be this constant confidence building. But it is nice, you know, to hear that you scored 3 goals and we're taking this forward and we got a win from it. And we got 3 goals. Let's be more realistic. We got 3 goals. That's awesome. Like, when was the last time we got 3 goals?
I think it was that Cuba match.
Yeah.
World Cup qualifying. That's a long time ago.
Also, the last time we got a goal from open play, too. Just like tonight.
Yep.
But, you know, and it's nice to have this win, I think, especially with what's been going on in Major League Soccer. So,
That sounds like a segue.
It was deliberately designed to be a segue, and you didn't even ask me. You didn't even ask me, and I did it for you.
You're so smart, Lars. What would we do without you?
That's right. Where would we be without Lurs?
You would probably get guest podcasters on who probably are a lot better than me. No?
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that anyway.
No.
Even if we could, which we probably couldn't.
even if it could have been Ian Hume, but it's 2:30 in England.
Yeah, did you see that tweet there, Lars, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Jeff was having... Well, go ahead, Jeff. You tell the story.
Yeah, well, basically, Hume was on and he's just like, well done, boys, for like banging in the second or whatever. I'm just like, ah, come on, Ian, if you were up top, we would have had like 3 or 4 by now. And he's just like, what, are you going to be my agent? And I'm like, I can't remember. I was just like, what does it pay? and anyway, then eventually I'm just like, well, what are you doing right now, right after the match? And sadly, he's like, it's 2:30 in the morning, I'm going to bed. But we had the chance that we could have had Ian Hume on the pod. But it didn't work out, so.
We would have had to text you, Lars, and say, you know what, Lars, it's just too late. We're not going to go tonight.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with that.
and then it would have been Jeff and I and Ian Hume.
Yeah.
Would have been okay.
No, that would have been mean. That wouldn't have been nice at all. Okay, so last word on the Canadian men's national team. I almost hate to leave this because we're talking about good stuff.
I know.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's been so long. What's going to happen in Panama in our next friendly? Lars, you start this one off.
I think we're going to lose.
Do you think it's going to be a wipeout, or do you think it's going to be one of these, you know, solid performance, but it just didn't happen kind of losses?
It'll be a 2-1 affair. And I don't know how we'll play, but it'll be a 2-1 affair. Panama.
Okay, Jeff?
I hate to say this, but things are too good right now, and there's always some hideous storm that follows the beautiful weather, it seems, with the men's national team, and I see us going down like 3-0. Blas Perez is going to score 2 of them and do that stupid horned devil celebration that he does, and then somebody else is gonna like one. They're gonna have like a debutante or something. A guy getting his first cap, and he's gonna end up bagging one against us. And the first one's gonna happen because of some bad play in midfield where we get stripped of the ball, or else a bad pass from the back that gets intercepted, and it puts them on a break, and they bag one against us. And it'll happen early, just like it did tonight. It'll be in like the 25th or 35th minute kind of range, and it'll just be downhill from there. We don't play well in Panama, it seems. I don't know what's up.
You know what, though? This is, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not disagreeing with either of you, really. Although, I can't really agree with both of you either, because you've said different things. But maybe Floro's got a little bit more psychological magic that he can bring to the table and keep them somewhat organized, and we can gut out a 1-1 draw or something like that. Maybe.
That's the name of the sex tape I made, Psychological Magic.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gutting out a 1-1 draw. That's as good as it gets, baby. It's a 1-1 draw.
Touché.
Okay, well, here we are with topic two. And I got to be honest, we should talk about topic two. It's current, and we haven't talked MLS forever. But I don't really want to talk about topic two because I feel too good about what just happened. The men's national team won, and we should all be talking positive. But we're not going to, I guess. I know you want to talk about this, Lars. Well, I don't know if you want to talk about it. I think you feel somewhat compelled to talk about it.
I want to talk about it.
You want to talk about it. Okay. So I don't even think I need to ask a question, Lars. TFC, go.
Okay, so I think it was back in January or February we were talking on this podcast, not this exact episode, but a previous episode, because that would be a very long podcast, about the makeover Toronto FC was undergoing under, I guess, the new so-called new regime, which is suddenly becoming the old regime because they're getting tossed out on their ear. And I believe both Jeff and I had poo-pooed the entire makeover and saying, this isn't going to work. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. Were we not right on this, or am I just retconning the whole thing?
No, I believe you're totally right, because I figured the foe was not going to be able to keep up. And it seemed like it was another bunch of MLSE huge, like big talk with no actual substance behind it.
Did you guys really say that? Sorry to interrupt, but I meant to go back because I knew when you texted me, Lars, that probably that was part of it. It was like, oh, hey, I predicted that. And I meant to go back and listen, and I just didn't have time.
Well, even if it wasn't, I'm retconning it, so it actually was. I take all the credit and none of the blame.
nice.
But no, seriously, I think at the time we'd also said that Ryan Nelson wasn't a good enough coach. He didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Agreed.
And we look at where the team, what trajectory it took with the players they have. They certainly have the players that could have got into playoffs here, but the entire team.
Okay, to be honest, though, it's not that they've missed the playoffs yet.
Okay, they're going to miss the playoffs. You heard it here first, or somewhere else first. It doesn't really matter.
I've heard it a lot of places. So
yeah, I tweeted that out after the first loss in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's unbelievable just how incompetent MLSC and just about every single person they hire actually is. And it's just staggering to see what they've managed to piss away this year. It's not as bad as 2009, where they literally lost out on playoffs in the last game, but it's pretty close. And I guess it's almost been comical as a Toronto FC fan. Like at this point, you can't even you can be mad. Lots of people are mad. Lots of people are walking away. I certainly know that I took a hiatus for one and a half years, refused to watch any games because they were so bad. But the reality is, you can't help but laugh at how terrible they are. Because at this point, it's like an inside ongoing joke that it never ends. It's so funny to me. It's comical. I'm not laughing. But you can't help but laugh at just how terrible this is. And, you know, it doesn't shock me. And once everyone started to go out the door, and then they hired a guy with zero head coaching experience in Major League Soccer, it
to replace a guy that has zero head coaching experience anywhere.
He had 1 year, 1 year after, because obviously that he had had the previous year. But
who are you talking about, Vanny or
Ryan Nelson? He had had the 1 year previous that he had coached.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
but
when they hired him, he had none. Is what I mean.
Exactly. So, and they're doing this right in the middle of a playoff run. You know, I think he deserved to be fired. But they should have waited until the end of the year, and they chose not to. They pulled the gun immediately, probably because he shot his mouth off after the one match. But the reality is, you're making your run on playoffs. You're trying to mount. You're trying to get in there, get over that red line that Major League Soccer literally wrote an article explaining what the red line meant, like to make playoffs. Did anyone see that? I think Steve Sander made a comment. Did they actually write an article on what it means to make playoffs?
Yeah, I saw that. That's just, I mean, if your fans are that stupid.
Pack in the league and go home. But,
you know, Lars, it reminded me a little bit of when you and I went to that Argos game 2 years ago. And they had to explain when to cheer and when not to cheer. Like, don't cheer when the offense is on the field. Because it messes them up, but cheer when the defense is on the field because it messes up the other team. I was like, you need to be told to do that. It was kind of similar to the red line thing.
Yeah, it really is. Anyway, it's, you know, I can go on for hours on this. I think I should be a little less long-winded and let, you know, Jeff and yourself have a word edgewise here, but I don't know. To me, it's just... It's symptomatic of Canadian soccer. And we can talk about the team and how it just came off of its big win, and you know, but there's very little that has been going right in Canadian soccer since that Cuba match, and there's been nothing that has gone right since 2007, at least in Toronto. So I don't know. It's, to me, it just sums up everything that our program has struggled with, both on the professional side, where players are getting paid to play the game, and also on the development side. TFC is unfortunately the one of the epicenters of development in this country with their academy, and finally on the national team side, where they've had so many players who played on the national team come in and out, and their TFC destroys careers.
Jeff, do you want to comment on that?
I'm not sure I can. I believe the flaming plane that's going down out of Lars's mouth is flying directly into a village of unsuspecting native people to that area. They're just, it's a horrible scene, and I'm pretty sure everybody who's on the plane has Ebola, so even those that survived the crash on both ends will probably die of a horrible disease death.
Okay, wait a minute, let me just wait a second. So you're saying that Lars is saying that it's bad?
It's not a plane.
What's that?
Guys. It's not
Sorry,
a plane.
Lars.
It's not a plane. It's a drone.
It's a drone.
Drone attaches strange village in Jeff's imagination. Boy, we've got some weird stuff tonight, I tell ya.
You know what that makes me think of? If nobody else has seen Jamie's first mock-up of one of the new shirt designs, Voyager shirt designs.
You mean the one with the guys in the canoe?
The one of the guys in the canoe. It literally looks like a couple of guys that the Brazilian drug lords fired to go like wipe out a native village in the Amazon.
Yeah, they look.
That's what it looks like.
They look nasty, and they look like they're wearing shades too. It's like shades, but otherwise Voyager outfits. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. No, let's get back to comments on the horrible bus accident that is TFC. let's get into specifics and not so many metaphorics.
I'm not sure. I'm rather enjoying the metaphors. In fact, I see TFC is basically being a bus full of leprosy sufferers with an overfilled gas tank, like going full bore into an orphanage of newborn babies and exploding in a violent destruction of human life, basically, is what it is. That's okay. TFC defined right there.
Let me ask you a different question, not because you're that interested in answering it, probably because I'm interested in talking about it. Does it hurt the sport in Canada for this to be a continuous saga of gunk?
Without a doubt.
Well, Lars, go ahead first. Jeff, you get more of the floor because you didn't have as much in the last question, in the last section, I mean. Lars.
How can this not be an ongoing problem for Canadian soccer? It's the biggest city in the country. It doesn't matter if you're from the West and you have those feelings of Western alienation. At the end of the day, Toronto is the major media center in this country. And sports revolve around TSN Sportsnet, and they're based out of Toronto. And it sounds like it's windy and Rob,
no, there's there. Just a, yeah, I'm here. There's just a bit of a hiss.
Okay.
I'm exhaling very slowly, but in a very controlled fashion.
It's devastating to the game. It's a joke. It makes us look piss poor. And on top of that, you alienate the players. They all go into TFC, and they all come out chewed up. Or they end up traded with it. You know, they sign a contract to come back to their hometown, and they're traded mid-season in the first, 3 weeks later after they've signed their contract, up the road to a place where they're not from, which might be in the same country. But can anyone think of any player who might fill that description? But
yeah, no doubt.
The reality is, it's a joke. It makes the sport look like a joke. It kills interest. I can't see how it's a good thing for the saga to be going on. I can only see negatives. It's just absolutely staggering how incompetent. They brought in Jermaine Defoe and made this big splash, and they got all this attention. And you know what the story is going to be and has been? It's Toronto FC signs EPL player and still doesn't make playoffs. And they've managed to bungle that now too. And then we come back to the next point, which is going to be a bunch of people who took interest in the sport because they saw this big player was coming over. And they may not have taken interest. They watch a couple games where they're playing atrociously, and they go, man, this sport is boring, or man, this sport sucks. And then they go, online, and they go talk to their friends, and they say, oh, soccer's shitty. I don't want to watch soccer. What a lame sport. And then, it feeds on itself. And that's, it's this ongoing saga, and it's all because of, and it's not just Toronto. Let's be fair, Montreal's been terrible this year, and Vancouver hasn't been great either. And there's almost no positives in the sport right now. It's kind of funny because we did the first half of this podcast on such a positive 3-1 win. The reality is, that's the exception to the rule when we're talking about Canadian soccer. There's been very little positive things up until there. So Jeff can have the floor here. But I think I've managed to sufficiently depress everyone.
So there's a pride of rabid lions that have broken into a puppy mill, and they break into the puppy mill and they devour as many as possible. And those that actually survive end up with rabies anyway, which is a fate possibly worse than death. And that's still not as bad as TFC's effect on Canadian soccer. So what more can you say? One of the sad things that has occurred with TFC is they, in order to try and maintain any type of relationship with some of the more hardcores, they have done things like rushed youth players into the first team and essentially destroyed their careers. Nana Atakora, Gabe Gala, hopefully not Daniil, but Ashton Morgan looks like he's going down that path right now. For all we know, Kyle Becker could end up washing out because of TFC. And I mean, you know, some of the blame obviously has to go on the player for, you know, I don't even know if any blame can go on the player. I'm just going to blame TFC because that's the easiest thing to do, honestly. That's really, I mean, it's not good. Like Nana Atakora, the guy was decent. Like, he was a decent player. He was a good athlete. He was a decent footballer, but he was thrust into this starting role in the back line alongside Nick the Wizard Garcia. And it destroyed the kid. I mean, where the heck is he right now? Where is that?
He's in DC on the bench or not even making the bench.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he is now an MLS floater, not getting starting minutes. Did get picked up for a national team match last year, but didn't feature. That's the thing that worries me when it comes to TFC, and actually all of MLS. And I'm going to go on a diatribe right now about why every single person in this country that gives two craps about Canadian soccer needs to get 100% behind Canadian Division 1A and the creation, the establishment, and health and well-being of Canadian Division 1A. Because then we're not going to have to depend on MLS clubs who have too many counter interests than developing Canadian talent to develop Canadian talent. You know, now you're going to have clubs whose missions written into the league structure is the mission to develop Canadian players. You know, oh yeah, they're going to want to win, but they're going to be forced into a specific Canadian quota. Hopefully it'll be similar to what the CSA's done with their USL Pro deals for the three MLS sides, where all three of those MLS sides are going to have to field 6 of 11 Canadian starters every game. 6 of 11 players that start for their USL Pro clubs have to be Canadian and eligible for the Canadian program. So that's what I expect out of Canadian Vision 1A, and that's why we need to get behind that. And if you're not behind Canadian Division 1A and think it's a stupid idea, you just need to sit back and take your focus away from the thoughts of we'll never be able to do it. There's no economic backing. Blah 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 blah. All that bull crap. And see, I'm being nice right now, Rob. I'm not even swearing. Make sure you have an easy editing job, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to go to bed early tonight.
Yeah.
Too late. It's already late.
And you just need to get 100% behind Canadian Division 1A because it's our only hope. MLS is not our hope. MLS is in fact our detractor. And
so what you're saying is Canadian Division 1A is the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It is.
Of Canadian soccer.
It is.
Help us, Canadian Division 1A. You're our only hope.
Our only hope.
Rick's going to love that.
Yeah, I know he will. And before you cut me off here, I just want to add one note. There is one club right now that is doing well, and that's FC Edmonton. They could possibly clinch a spot in the NASL playoffs if they win their remaining home games.
Yeah, what a turnaround, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, from basically being nothing to now possibly being able to clinch a playoff spot if they win their remaining home games.
Yeah.
I think they're sitting pretty because they're playing really well at home. Heck, they're even picking up points on the road. I mean, that's what a playoff team has to do. They got to pick up points on the road. TFC, you know,
whoa.
A draft game.
Yeah, sure. And also that kind of broke up with some weird Skype issues there. Okay, let me ask you one last question because we've gone on a fair amount of time now, and it's time to wrap this up. this doesn't really follow the where the trend of where we are going, but I think I should ask you guys anyway. Do we ever see Jermaine Defoe in a TFC jersey on the pitch playing for TFC again, Jeff?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
You think we do?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Lars, do you think so?
No.
No.
Okay, Jeff. If...
Go to hell, Lars.
Okay, Jeff, one last question to you then. Do you think he scores another goal for TFC ever?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It's hard to know. There's so many rumors going around. And that brings us to the end of From the Black Hole episode 33. Thanks for listening. Hopefully a bunch of you Voyagers that are out in Toronto tonight are having a good time celebrating the 3-1 victory. See you next time.